My subject is Do Not Be Deceived. John Morse just talked to you about the enemy and about Satan. I do want to make a background. I don't want to call it a disclaimer, but I do want to make a background here. My talk today is based on the church. It's based on you being members of the church. The things I'm going to say, if I was approaching somebody that was not a member of the church, I would approach the subjects completely different than what I'm going to bring to you today. Some of the information I got today, or a lot of the information I got today, was off of the internet, doing searches on things. Some of the information today is based on personal experiences in my life and things that I've seen with different people in the church and people outside of the church. Those are my background remarks. When we talk about to do not be deceived, the first thing that pops into most of our minds, or at least to my mind, was the story of Eve and Satan. When Satan tempted Eve, Satan said to Eve, "Look at all these trees. Well, you know, what's God told you about all these trees? Can you eat of every one of these trees?" And she said, "Well, God provided all these trees for us, and we can eat of the fruit of everything except for this one tree. God told us not to eat of that tree, that if we eat of it, we'll die." And Satan said, "You will not surely die." Satan added this one word. All it took was one word, and he deceived Eve. Even admits when God questions her, "Satan deceived me." The New Testament tells us that Eve was deceived by Satan. What exactly does deceived mean? Well, it's to persuade someone that something false is true, or to keep the truth hidden from someone for your own advantage. Deceive yourself to refuse to accept the truth. We know what the truth is, but oftentimes we deceive ourselves by not accepting it. Synonyms for deceive is swindle, defraud, cheat, trick, hoodwink, hoax, dupe, take in, mislead, fool, outwit, misguide, lead, seduce, ensnare, entrap, beguile, and double cross. All of those are synonyms for deceived. Those are all words that, well, maybe not all of them, but most of them are words that we're familiar with. I looked these things up in the dictionary on the internet too. When I looked at it, it said husband and wife relationship. When you deceive, you be unfaithful to. You be disloyal to. Be untrue to. You cheat on. You betray. You break one's promise to. Fits good with the husband and wife relationship. I think it also fits good with our relationship with God. When we have accepted Jesus Christ and then we allow ourselves to be deceived, we cheat on God. We cheat on Christ. We've broken our promise to God. Do not be deceived. James, the first chapter in 12 through 18, these are verses that we're familiar with. It talks about the temptation and that God doesn't tempt us, that we're tempted when we fall of our own lust, our own desires, and when that temptation conceives that it's sin and it's death. And then he tells us in verse 16, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow or turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." Don't be deceived. Don't allow that temptation, don't allow that sin to take over you. That don't trick yourself, don't be beguiled by that, but that God, our Father, He's the one that's provided those true gifts and He's provided the true things for us. I don't know if this is a disclaimer or what I would call it, but I know when I was a teenager, the thing I would hate the most of all was when somebody would tell me that the world is so much worse now than when I was your age. The world is corrupt now, and it wasn't that corrupt back then. The world, our society, it goes in cycles. Sometimes it's close to God's Word. Sometimes it's far from God's Word. We go back in the beginning of time. Well, we just talked about Eve and how she was deceived by Satan. But we go back to the flood in Genesis, the 6th chapter, and it says, "And the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent and thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart." Back in the time of the flood, things were evil. I remember when I was in history class, and our history teacher, we talked about the Roman Empire, and she talked about Julius Caesar. And I hate to make this as a flippant remark or whatever, but what she told us about Julius Caesar is he was every woman's man and he was every man's man. Homosexuality is not nothing new in our day and age. Premarital sex is nothing new in our day and age. This stuff has been going on since mankind was created. Ecclesiastes 1 and 9 tells us that. It says there's nothing new under the sun. But I will tell you, the world is more sinful today than when I was a teenager. Am I crazy or what? Things that were looked down upon when I was a teenager are accepted practices today. I want to look at some physical examples of some things that deceive us in the world today. And I'm going to start out with alcohol, with social drinking. We look in the scriptures and we read not to be drunk. We interpret that as it's all right to social drink. It's all right to have a beer. It's all right to have a wine. I'm an adult. I can drink vodka, I can drink whiskey, I can do whatever. As long as I don't get drunk, I'm okay. I can handle it. You know, it's not a problem with me. I can stop any time I want to. The internet's a great thing, it's a terrible thing too. But I went out there and I did a search on the internet on alcohol, and it just... curiosity in my mind is, how much does the average American person spend on alcohol? The average American person spends 1% of their income. I spend 0% of my income, so I know there's people that spend a lot more than 1%. How much do we as a whole country spend? $57 billion annually on alcohol. $57 billion. How much is advertising? $6 billion a year is spent on advertising. Okay, that's why it's so prevalent about us. It's because $57 billion is spent on it and $6 billion is spent on advertising. Everywhere you look, there's alcohol. My wife likes the Hallmark movies. You watch a Hallmark movie, and they go into a bar and have a drink. Or they're eating at a restaurant and they have a drink. Alcohol is everything. Our nation is in love with alcohol. They're fascinated by it. One of the facts and figures I found in there that I was fascinated with was this bottom one here that says, and this was a figure in 2010, 8 years ago, alcohol misuse, okay, remember it cost us $57 billion is what we spend on alcohol. We spend $6 billion on alcohol commercials. $249 billion is what we as a country spend because of the misuse of alcohol. You may think, why in the world is this guy going nuts up here about alcohol? We know we're not going to drink alcohol. That's not true. I know. It's not true. There are people in this congregation, there's people probably in this building right now that have problems with alcohol. They're deceived. They deceive themselves. My son is in the Air Force. He's in the military. He was assigned a young man that was in the military, a young airman. And he was assigned him because he was going to be leaving the military. He wasn't going back to his parents. He was going to be going to prison. He was going to prison because him and some friends had a party. And they all decided to drink a little bit of beer. It's not, I mean, he's in the military. This kid's in the military. That's what they do. They drink beer. So they had a party, and he decided to bring his gun to this party. I already heard the O's. You already know where this story goes. He's showing his gun around to everybody, and he accidentally shoots and kills his best friend. Both of their whole lives were in front of him. And now, the one is dead, and the other is going to prison. I'm not sure who would feel the worst. The boy's parents that is dead, the boy's parents that killed him, or the boy that actually killed him. He was, according to my son, he was very naive and very young and very... Yeah, it's just one of those things that happen. It's one of them that happened with alcohol. I bring out this story because it is true. It's not something that was made up. It's not something this boy planned on, but it ruined his life. It ended the other boy's life. It ruined the parents' lives. It probably ruined everybody's lives connected with it. Also have a friend that was an avid hunter. And, you know, I'm bringing this out because this problem is not just to teenagers. The problem is to all adults. The problem is to all of us. This man was an avid hunter, and he was in his 40s. And him and his friends went hunting, and they had to have a couple of cases of beer with them. And they went out hunting, and they didn't get anything. And the time had expired, and so they all broke up and went back to their houses. Except for him and one of his other friends, they decided that they hadn't got anything, so, you know, they didn't want the weekend to be over quite this soon. So they stayed out there and was going to hunt a little longer. Had a couple more beers. And his gun accidentally went off, and he shot his best friend. This time, at least, his best friend didn't die. I can't remember for sure. I think he shot him in the leg or something. So, I mean, those things happen with alcohol. There's all kinds of stupid statistics that I went out and looked at and everything, and it's scary when you look at them for college students and everything. One of them, 696,000 students between the ages of 18 and 24 are assaulted by another student who has been drinking. 97,000 students are raped because of some student that's been drinking. There's all kinds of things you can go out there. I'm going to flip through them because I'm running out of time already. The damages that alcohol does to your body and everything. And I guess one of the things, you know, you always think of the liver disease. That was what I was always told when I was a kid. Liver disease. Well, what's the purpose of the liver? The liver is to get rid of poisons in your body. Why is the liver destroyed by alcohol? Because alcohol is a poison that you put in your body, and the liver is trying to get rid of it. Common sense. How does the world deceive us? Pot. You know, smoking pot, it relaxes me. I'm just smoking pot. I'm not taking drugs. I'm not hurting anybody. I'm just smoking pot. Pot should be legal anyway. It's legal in a lot of the states. And when I went out to the WebMD on the internet, it tells you some of the statistics about pot and what pot does to your brain and all these different types of things and how you have hallucinations and all this. But you'll also go out there and you'll see all these people that are trying to tell you the benefits of pot and how it's going to help you out. When I was a teenager, yeah, there was pot out there, and I'll raise my hand. I smoked pot. You know, I'll be honest with you. I did it a couple times. But we knew it was wrong, and it was a sin. We didn't continue with it. Premarital sex. In today's day and age, and this is another thing that when I was a teenager, nobody lived together. At least, if they did, they didn't admit it. I didn't know anybody that did, you know. But today, that's the norm. You're an oddball if you haven't lived together before you got married. There's something wrong with you if you do that. The statistics of the unborn, you know, of the unmarried having babies, 40% of the births in this country are from unmarried women. And then there's even a statistics now that the unmarried women over 40 are having, their statistic is increasing, because they're having babies now outside of a wedlock because their career and everything has been more important, and now they've decided it was time to have a baby, and they really didn't want... I read one of them that said she didn't want a man because then she'd have to raise two babies. She'd have to support two people. She didn't want to do that. So, has nothing to do with God's plan at all. This is just the way the world is. Divorce, you can go out there and you see all the nasty statistics on divorce, the 50% divorce rate, and you'll see websites and everything, and they'll try to tell you that's not true, and they'll calculate different things and all kinds of... I'll give you a personal example. When they introduced me, they said, I'm a member of Prince Road, and yes, I am a member of Prince Road. I grew up here in this congregation right here. I think I was in fourth grade when my parents started attending here. There's a log cabin building just... this field here, there's a log cabin back there. We used to meet in that log cabin when I was a kid. We would meet in a classroom. It was probably a bed. Our classroom was probably a bedroom at one time in that log cabin. We would meet there, and as I got on this slide here, there were seven boys. Janet would come every now and then, but it was mainly seven boys that made up that class that I was in. Out of those seven boys... where was that, Tim Morse? Tim never got married. Six of us got married. Out of the six that got married, four of us are divorced. That's a staggering statistic there to tell me about divorce. And when I consider that we were a strong congregation, those seven boys that was in my class, our dads were the elders and the deacons of that congregation. We were there Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We were there if that yard over there needed to be mowed. We were there when those trees needed to be trimmed. We were there no matter what happened at that congregation. These seven boys were involved in that congregation. You know, it's not from lack of involvement. Oh, man, follow your heart. How many times has somebody told you this one? Follow your heart. Scriptures, you don't have to look very far into the Scriptures. Genesis, the 8th chapter, when it talks about the flood and everything. It says, and the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Our heart is evil from our youth up. But yet, follow your heart. That's what you should do. No, we don't follow our heart. We follow the Scriptures. If your heart is trained by the Scriptures, then yeah, you can follow it. If your conscience is trained by the Scriptures, then yes, you can follow it. But if not, your heart is deceptive. Your heart is deceived. Do not follow your heart. Follow God's Word. I can serve God without the church. Organized religion is the problem. It's not me. How can I be the problem? It's organized religion. That's the problem. I don't need the church. I'm serving God just fine, just the way I am, just what I'm doing. They'll even try to tell you they open their Bible and read it, but after talking to them for a little while, I find out that's not true. What knowledge they had is gone. Acts the 20th chapter and the 28th verse is when Paul calls the Ephesian elders together at Miletus, and he's talking to them, and in the 28th verse he says, "Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among you, which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his blood." Is the church important? Yes, it's important. Jesus died on that cross. He purchased that church with his blood. That church is his body, it tells us in Ephesians. That church is his bride. Yes, the church is important. Can I serve God without the church? No. I am being very blunt with you, and like I said in the beginning, this is because you are all members of the church. If I was talking to somebody outside the church, it would be a complete different approach. Can I worship God any way I want to? We're all going to the same place anyway. This question really boggles my mind every time I hear this thing. We as parents, we have rules that we want our children to obey. We expect them to follow the rules. They can't be our children any way that they want to. I have three boys, and all three of them went into the military. I went and watched the basic training graduation from all three of those boys. Everybody that graduated from that basic training had a uniform on. They all had their hair cut, shaved a special way. They all stood a special way. They all spoke a special way. They had rules that they had to follow. To be a part of any organization in this world, we have rules that we have to follow. How come we can understand to be in the military, we have to follow the rules? How come to be in any organization, I have to follow the rules? But when it comes to worshiping God, the Creator, my Father who created me, He doesn't have any rules. I can do it any way I want to. As long as it makes me happy, as long as I feel good about it. John 14:15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." There's all kinds of stories in the Bible. Jesus was a good man and a prophet, but was not born of a virgin, was not the Son of God. That's something the deception out in the world too is, how can somebody be born of a virgin? If he wasn't born of a virgin, if he wasn't, how would he be the Son of God and the Son of Man? The Son of God because Mary was impregnated by the Holy Spirit. The Son of Man because he was born by woman here on this physical earth. Deceitfulness of time. I'm young, you know. I just want to sow my wild oats. The expression, "I'm 6 foot tall and bulletproof, you know, I'm going to be here forever, you know, things will change," you know, it's the deceitfulness of time. There's many other different things that I could tell you and everything. I haven't even scratched the surface of what it. But, this is a sermon I want you to really stop and think about the seriousness that goes on around. Not only for your children, not only for our children, but for us. But when you think about this, and this is what they're going to cover probably the rest of this week, is how do we keep ourselves and our loved ones from being deceived? Well, faith. The children of Israel, they were destroyed by lack of faith and lack of knowledge. Faith and knowledge. Faith in God, love for God's Word, and that's knowledge. It takes study of the Scriptures to get that. A love for the brotherhood, a love for each other. Faith in God must be our faith. It must be my faith. I grew up in this congregation, but my mom and dad's faith won't get me to heaven. Gary Anderson's faith, as strong as Gary Anderson was teaching me when I was growing up, his faith is not going to get me to heaven. It has to become my faith. His love for God, and I know they all have a strong love for God. It's not going to get me to heaven. I have to have a strong love for God. A strong love for God's Word. I have to have a desire that I want to study God's Word. And I have to have a strong love for you, for the brotherhood. Simply put, in today's language, so that everybody understands it, I must own it. It's not anybody else's faith. It's mine. I have to own it. Or else I'm going to be deceived by this world. I'm going over a little bit. I'm sorry. I have all kinds of stuff that wants to spew out of my mouth at you. I have cut back a ton of slides and done all kinds of things, but I still got a couple I cannot pass up. One is I talked to somebody that is in their 30s that had a hard time when he was a teenager and when he was in his 20s. And I imagine there was people that thought he wasn't going to make it. I know there's people that are amazed that he's in the church now and he is a very strong member of God's church right now. And so I was talking to him one day and I said, told him what my subject was and everything. And he said, I've thought about this a lot of times. He said, I can't point to one thing. I really don't know. I just can't point to it. But he said, there are a couple things I do know. He said, I know my mother prayed for me every day. Yeah. I know his father did too. It wasn't just his mother. He said, I was taught a strong work ethic. And he said, I was taught that you have to tell yourself no sometimes. Our very affluent society with the great wealth that we have, and they talk about the World War II and that generation being the greatest generation and all that, and all the hard work and everything that those people had to do, and how much easier our lives were because of that. And because of all the hard work that they did, our life has been a lot easier. But we need to be able to tell ourselves no sometimes. We must be a living sacrifice. This was down at Eminence Meeting. Brad Tetterow had a very good lesson on transforming ourselves, not being conformed to the things of this world, but transforming ourselves into the image of Christ. And you have to ask, am I transforming myself or am I conforming to the things of the world? With our children, I guess we look at them. Are they transforming themselves to the image of Christ or are they conforming to the world? Do not be deceived. Let us please God and do His will. I mean, that's really, if you don't want to be deceived by the things that are going on in the world around us, if you really... You really want to put blinders and everything. A lot of those temptations, a lot of those sins, alcohol. I will be the first to admit to you, when I was a teenager, I drank alcohol. I was not a social drinker. The couple times that I drank, I was drunk. I could not stop. I smoked marijuana a couple times. I'm going to admit to you that I've done these things. But it's not... No, I shouldn't even admit to that because now my mind went. Oh, man. My mind went black. I don't even remember where I was going with that thing. I guess the thing I would tell you is at that time when I was doing... Well, at that time when I was doing that, I thought that was something teenagers did. When I got out into the working world and everything, I found out that people in their 30s, 40s, and 50s were doing that stuff. I knew from the teaching and the upbringing that I had that stuff was wrong. And I knew that it was a sin. And I knew it didn't please God. It wasn't doing God's will. It wasn't the things... There's nothing... Oh, now I know what I was going to do. There's nothing beneficial to any of it. There is nothing beneficial to alcohol. There is nothing beneficial to smoking pot. I'm not even talking about the medical things and all that on that. That's what is beneficial is serving God and pleasing God. Sanctifying ourselves, keeping ourselves holy. You know, the end of this verse here, it says, "For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness." God knows what's best for me. God created me. He created me in His own image. He knows what's best for me. He didn't call me into sin. He didn't call me into uncleanness. But He called me into holiness. He wants me to be holy. I should want to please Him. I want to serve Him. I want to do His will. Da-da. Hey, I'm only 7 minutes over time. Yeah, you laugh, but I could have kept you here for hours with what I had. I don't know whether to thank the congregation for giving me this subject or not. It has been a rough 6 or 7 months preparing for this talk. But it's something I needed to prepare for. It's something I needed to give. In the way of an invitation, I realize what I told you is this talk was geared towards those that are members of the church. And the deceitfulness of Satan, the deceitfulness of the world out there. But if you have not accepted Jesus and you are involved in those sinful things that are out there in this world, God is more powerful than Satan. God gave His Son upon that cross, and His precious blood washes away all the sins that Satan has enticed us into. Accept His blood. Accept the blood of Jesus. And no matter what's going on in your life, God will take care of you. He will provide for you. If you are a member of the church and you've fallen away, if you've allowed these deceitful things of this world to take over, now's the time to start your life anew again. Now's the time to confess that your sins and allow that precious blood of Jesus once again to wash away your sins and get you on the right path. If you have a need, would you come forward and confess that need as we stand and sing the invitation song?